Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It is a new year, it is a new day, and welcome to the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio, 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And we're joined by Beth Hatberger.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, good to have the show back. Good to be back, everybody. I have to be honest with everyone. I've still been doing a morning show. It's just been by myself. I pull out a microphone and I still just do the show.
Gotta stay in habit.
Everything Simpsons?
It's essentially, Melissa. And okay. It is a lot better doing the show with you guys. It's a lot better. This feels a lot better. It's great. Happy New Year, everybody. It's
happy
a new
happy
year.
New Year, yes. Yeah.
We got a bunch of new fun stuff lined up for you today. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit. Looking forward to that. Also want to touch on a couple of interesting stories that have broke or come out just in the last couple of weeks or that we haven't had a chance to get to. There was one I found really interesting. Actually, a couple of bills that have passed, laws that have come into play. So I thought we could get into some of those in the new year. Got that coming up. We are going to kick off the 8 o'clock hour with 10 things women do that men are baffled by.
Okay.
We were going to get to this last week. We ran out of time. So we'll get into it today. We've got an interesting one Melissa sent me about different incentives that municipalities and that are thinking of doing that are very similar to companies in keeping employees or keeping residents in town. That's a good one. We'll get into that a little bit later. I came across something during the break that baffles me, and I have to get what you guys think about this one. Well, we'll get into that in the 8 o'clock hour as well. It's just a website. It's a website that does something that honestly, I've known about it for a week now, and I still don't know how I feel about it.
Okay.
All those things coming up. In the 8 o'clock hour as well, you will have Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, 9 o'clock hour, Good Stories of the Day, That Ain't Right Stories, and plenty more lined up for you. We'll kick things. Oh, and in the 9 o'clock hour, of course, we will also have the kitchens open. That will kick off the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All those things coming up for you. But let's just start right where we need to. Melissa, how was your weekend? How was your New Year's?
It was good. We traveled to Minneapolis and went to the Chanhazen Dinner Theater with a group of friends and enjoyed a delicious dinner and a fun show. It was like a big band, Frank Sinatra,
nice.
Dean Martin, Judy Garland. I mean, they had kind of a little bit of everything.
Wow.
Performance-wise. Really awesome band.
Hmm.
I mean, I think they had, I was trying to count, but I kept getting distracted. But there was probably 20 band members up there on stage.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. So it was really neat.
It's a good trip. Traveling roads good? Back and forth? Good.
Yeah, it was a little foggy on the way home on Sunday, but other than that, no problems.
That sounds like a fun show. I love variety shows. When you get a little bit of everything, that's great.
Mm. Well, and it was a really neat theater, too. I wish I would have taken a picture because we were seated for the dinner part down in the basement. And they were, like, rounded. Like, I felt like we were going into the underground.
Ooh.
Nice.
They were, like, rounded hallways that we were walking through that were, like, stucco or clay lined. And so it was neat.
See, I think it's interesting you bring that up, Melissa. I was going to actually text you this off air because I didn't know if anybody else finds this stuff interesting. Part of what I love, if I'm going to see an act, yeah, I want to see the act. But the other part of it is the theater.
Or atmosphere.
The atmosphere, that kind of thing. That pulls me in just almost as much as the show does. As a kid, the theater district in Chicago, I drooled at the Orpheum Theater, the Chicago Theater, like all these legendary theaters down there. And as an adult getting in there, now all I want to, I go there, I'll see Joel McHale do stand-up. But what I want to do is be up there myself and feel those acoustics and everything.
Right.
You can't help that part of yourself. You're still enjoying the show and everything, but there's something about that. So the theater was really nice too.
Yeah, they had an amazing lighting system. It was full without feeling packed.
Nice.
Okay.
Of course, we were a pretty giant group ourselves. So, like, our whole seating area we were in was just us.
Nice. Okay.
Kind of felt like we were in our own show. I don't know.
Rented out the theater.
Yep, pretty much.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, nice job. Nice.
Yeah.
Beth, how was yours?
It was good. You know, I was able to get some time off during last week, which was nice. And so we took a trip down to Lake Mills and visited Seth's sister and her family and thoroughly enjoyed that visit. I did a lot of driving over the weekend because I came home on Saturday while I left them there. So that they could have New Year's Eve with some of our sister and family and some of our friends from when we lived down there. And I had to lead worship yesterday morning. So I came back and spent New Year's Eve by myself in my house finishing up some work.
I have spent many New Years alone. I empathize with that on a different level. But that's that. As we were talking about in our pregame here, you know, as you would say, that is part of the gig. Mm-hmm. That is part of the job.
Yep.
It doesn't make it any easier, no. though. Doesn't. That's rough.
And it's the first New Year since we've been together that we've spent apart, Seth
oh,
and I.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we video chatted over New Year's. It just, you know, that kiss over the phone is just not the same.
No, it doesn't. No.
No.
But that... that is giving you. Do you feel that when the year starts that way, you guys, that it's something to build on, or is it just like, oh, there's going to be one of those years? I feel like you get this. To me, it's not so much how it starts. It's how is it going?
Right.
You know. It's so early, and it's not hard to kind of like say, well, this is it's not going to work, or this is going to work, or whatever. I don't know. I find it okay. I'm getting this out of the way. Got that out of the way. Okay, then you and Seth are going to have plenty of kisses the rest of the year. You know that kind of thing.
Right. Well, and I look at it. Every day is a new opportunity, a new day. So it was that was a new year, but that doesn't mean that's the whole year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the whole year as
right.
of then, but
yes.
That doesn't mean what the rest of the year is going to be. And worship went well, and I got a little bit more driving in yesterday because Leah, his sister, brought them halfway, and I went down halfway, and then the ride back. And last evening, we kind of did our own little family of four New Year's kind of party. We didn't stay up till midnight again, thank God, because the boys had school this morning, but just, you know, had more of the like little hot dog weenies and sat together and watched a whole bunch of videos. Like, we're big Charlie Brown fans, so we watched a whole bunch of Peanut videos just spent time as a family, and it was so nice to have that time together.
Partiers. All of you just hardcore partiers.
Yeah.
That's just that sounds awesome. That sounds
it was
that
very
sounds
nice.
Like a good one. I ask about the way a year can start because solid weekend, you know, good weekend and everything. I felt pretty good about this new year, the way it started and everything it's going so far. This morning, I got a. Pull out the driveway and then park so that I can pull the garbage and the recycling out.
Okay.
And then I run back in my car and I take off and everything.
Ooh.
And I was doing that this morning. I've done this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And I'm running about a little bit, not late, but late for me.
Right.
I like to be here like 3 in the morning, mm-hmm. basically. Like, I like to be here like really early. And so I'm booking to do this. And, of course, because I'm running and it's as icy as it is out there, and I haven't slipped and fallen yet. And I know this. I did one of those falls this morning you've got you're in the air for a second. And you've got a good second or two to think about the landing. think about what's coming. and I'm laughing to basically just laugh through the pain, basically, now. I landed on my complete left side. I don't know what's going on, but my hip has never felt like this before.
Oh, no.
And I already was dealing with a neck thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a thing in my neck here over on my right side. I don't know how I landed on my left side, but my right part of my neck is on fire. It feels like it's in a like somebody's bending a bar, and it just will not let it up again.
Oh,
but you get this out of the way. All right, I'm not going to fall the rest of the year now. Right, right.
Yeah,
the rest of the year, I'm not going to fall. I'll be perfectly fine.
All right, we'll go with that.
It, like anything in any day of the year, it doesn't matter what day it is, it's all about perspective, right?
Right.
I mean, I come in here and I'm grumpy about falling, I'm grumpy about the weather or any of these other things, and it's not only is it not going to make a good show, but my day is going to be ruined, and I may ruin somebody else's day. It's perspective. It could be worse. I'm, you know, I have a... I have a new a role that I was cast in. It's a student. It's just a student film, but it's fun and it's exciting. And I haven't gotten to work in a while.
Right.
And it doesn't. Since it's a film, I don't have to. I have my lines memorized, but I don't have to necessarily memorize them that strongly. So I can test my brain and try to work it out again to get back to where I was. At the same time, get to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that, and I would not, if I had landed on my face this morning, I would have lost that part because they have to film this. They have to start filming this week. If I got a big bruised up face and everything, they're recasting that thing.
Yeah,
so it could have been worse. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, well, way to look for the silver lining,
yes.
there, James.
Yeah.
Plus, you probably get to go visit Stroyber Health here this night.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. It's a very good point.
Did the rest of the New Year's weekend go all right for you at least?
Yeah, good. It did. And so all of this is building up to essentially what I wanted to talk about with the opening topic of this year, and that is what this year is. It is the year of the rabbit.
Okay.
Oh.
The rabbit is the fourth of all zodiac animals. Legend has it that the rabbit was proud, arrogant even, of its speed. He was neighbors with the ox and always made fun of how slow the ox was. One day, the Jade Emperor said the zodiac order would be decided by the order in which the animals arrived at his party. Rabbit set off at daybreak, but when he got there, there weren't any other animals, so he figured, I'm going to take a nap. And just relax. I already got this. Took a nap. Three other animals showed up, and the rabbit was not first. The rabbit is associated with the earthly branch in the hours 5 through 7 in the morning.
Okay.
It's a sweet spot right there. And in terms of yin and yang, the rabbit is yin.
All right.
Okay.
In Chinese culture, rabbits represent the moon. Some say it's because the shadows of the moon resemble a rabbit. Others say it's because of the rabbit's pure characteristics.
All right.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, but there is a number of things that the year of the rabbit emphasizes. And certainly patience is one of them, perseverance, longevity, peace, patience, and prosperity.
Okay.
Says what the year of the rabbit represents.
Very nice.
And let me see here. Just one last thing I wanted to see. The year of the other years of the rabbit. I thought I had that. Yeah. 1927, 1939, 1951, 63, 75, 87, 99, 2011, and, of course, 2023.
Yep. I have a rabbit in my house.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Not the animal. A human that is a rabbit.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you.
You're the dragon here. I don't think we have any. Yeah, we don't have any rabbits in our house, though.
Did you say 75?
Yes.
All right, I think I have a rabbit in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And I'm year of the dog.
Nice. That's a good one. There's no bad ones. These are all just, I mean, obviously it stems from Chinese culture.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chinese zodiac.
Yeah, which I just find interesting. I don't know how much weight you put into these things or, you know, really, but I think that they're interesting nonetheless.
Yeah.
And it gives something extra to the year, you know, kind of puts a little bit more into the year and everything. So I like that part of it, too.
And when does the Chinese New Year start, though?
That's a great question, Beth. So it starts from January 22nd and ends on February 9th of 2024.
Okay. So the year, so we're still in the year of the tiger.
True. Yes.
Which is my year.
Nice. Mm.
So
oh, really?
I've got three more weeks yet?
Got a couple more weeks.
Got a couple more weeks, yep.
A lot of lottery tickets. I wish
that's how that works.
It's not a bad idea. I don't think they had a winner for the mega yet.
That's true. They did. Oh, that's right.
Is it back up into the billions like it was?
It's pretty high. I think it's still millions, though.
Okay.
It's up there, that's for sure. We will take a break right here. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar. Got plenty to unfold there. It is a new year and a new day. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you joining us to the best listeners in radio out there. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll be back with more coming up here right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates from our good friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Be sure to join us right in the 8 o'clock hour. They'll be joining us live and direct. Looking forward to that. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. It's time for our dive into our National Day of Calendar for the first time this year. It is, of course, January 2nd, 2023, and it is National Buffet Day.
Yay!
Hey.
Buffets are great.
Love those.
It's rare I've come across a bad buffet. Like, there's usually at least one or two things there that you can grab that you can, you know, mm-hmm. devour and enjoy.
Is anybody else
salad
like,
bars? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to talk about salad bars because I love a good salad bar. Oh, and yeah. A buffet usually has one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I'm one of those people that I tend to eat more when I'm at a buffet than if it were just a regular sit-down meal.
I think I do, too.
Because it's so easy to go back and get more.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And there's just too many options.
That's the thing. You fill your plate with all these options, and there's stuff that you haven't gotten yet, so you want to go back up and try the things that you haven't gotten. So, yeah.
Yeah, the trick is take really small portions.
Yes.
Takes a while to learn that trick, though.
No, you're right, though.
Especially when you're hungry.
Yes.
But you can always tell the people that have never been to a buffet and the people who are like pros. Yeah. And Melissa's point right there, that's a pro tip right
yes,
there.
Yes, absolutely.
It is Motivation and Inspiration Day.
Ooh.
I don't really want to do that, though.
Oh, come on. You can do it. I believe in you.
For all of us who made New Year's resolutions, we're going to stick to them.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to motivate and inspire.
Yep.
I had a student bring up something yesterday that I thought was pretty funny. Somebody asked her what her resolution was, and she said, oh, you're not supposed to tell. I'm like, well, it ain't a birthday wish. What are you talking about? I've never heard of that before. Apparently, her mom told her that.
Interesting.
And we Googled this. We looked up to it. We couldn't find any actual facts of it. Just heard her family, apparently.
Her mom really never had any and didn't want to say that.
Maybe. I don't know.
That, or if she didn't keep them, she didn't want anybody to know.
You can't
fail if nobody knows.
Oh, as you will hear a million, morning shows and talk shows talk about today. Today is the day to really set those goals and motivations. We guise them up as New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. But they're really no different than any time of the year when we decide, hey, I'm going to do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just so happens to be, the first month of the year, beginning. But motivation and inspiration are things that, any day you can use those.
Mm-hmm. And remember that nobody's perfect. Give yourself some grace and just try again if you stumble.
Yeah.
Yep.
Happy Mew Year for Cats Day. Happy Mew Year, everybody.
Are great.
Have either of you seen the movie Super Troopers?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad Meow have Melissa. There is a classic gag in there about this. It just immediately reminds me of this. Basically, the two officers pull somebody over, and the gag is they want to see how long they can do this bit before the person they pulled over says something.
Okay.
And it's, do you know how meow fast you were going? Meow, meow. It's inserting meow into words and everything. It's just so good. They do it so smoothly. I don't know how many scenes that took or how many takes that took.
My goodness.
But it's a good scene. I have no idea what this is about other than that, though. any cat owner will tell you that cats consider themselves to be far, far superior to us mere mortals. They most certainly feel entitled and deserving of all the life has to offer. So why not have a happy meow year for Cats Day, a day just for them, basically.
Okay. And a day to bring awareness to the need to of shelter animals as well, shelter pets. Cats that aren't adopted.
There are certainly the first thing that I think of with that is black cats. Black cats statistically have a harder time getting adopted than any other animal under the sun.
Which is just silly because black cat hair on your black pants is going to show up a whole lot less than the white cat hair. Just saying.
Yeah, and I mean, there is no science behind that. There's just a bunch of superstition that is very kind of silly and ridiculous, and they're great animals. I also wonder, has anybody interviewed or heard from a cat, hey, I'm a narcissist. Hey, I think the world revolves around me. Like, don't we just kind of assume this about cats? We just kind of put this on them? They can seem very selfish. They can seem very, kind of a little entitled in certain things. But at the same time, it's not like they have the whole world at their oyster or anything. This is their world, the little house that they're in. And you put a lot of focus on that animal. I mean, it kind of makes sense that after a while, they would just think that it's about them.
They are a lot less trainable than dogs are. Try to tell a cat to sit and see what happens.
True. Mm-hmm. Their brains just don't work that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's possible to train cats. I know cat owners who have trained their animals to use the toilet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
cats. I mean, we talk about them not being able to be trained, but I think it depends on the dedicated inspiration and motivation of the person training them.
Absolutely.
That's why I said it's not as easy.
Right.
I didn't say it's impossible.
Correct. That is right.
It's 55-mile-an-hour speed limit day.
All right. That's actually the best speed for your car for its fuel economy.
Yeah. Oh. Sammy Hagar wrote, "I can't drive 55 just because of that, Beth." He wanted people to know
how important.
No, I have no idea. breaking the speed limit is probably one of the more common ways people break the law. Not only is it easy to do, but there is always seems to be a, quote, good reason for it. You can't afford to be late for work again. Your plane is taking off, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Whatever people's reasons for speeding may be, the unfortunate truth is that we do it way too often, especially considering that most car accidents are caused by speeding. Mm-hmm. So today is a good day to keep an eye on that and to limit your or keep an eye on your speed limit.
Especially with the weather we have coming.
Yes.
The national 55-mile-an-hour speed limit made law by President Nixon on January 2nd in 1974. The idea of the law was to improve driving efficiency. The move was also made in direct response to a dispute with the OPEC, the Organization for Petroleum Exploring Country or Counties, that had led to an oil embargo on the U.S.
Okay.
Studies conducted at the time have found that over 80% of drivers violated the speed limit on many, many roadways. So it's a day to, you know, certainly keep that in mind as well.
Yeah.
Now, and watching your speed, I know they're talking about vehicles. CC my earlier conversation.
Yourself.
Yeah, slow down yourself, too. It's worth it. Trust me, it's really worth it.
Well, I joked with Seth yesterday. I'd like, let's play a game. How many state troopers did you see pulled people over? I passed three.
Hmm.
Three police officers with their lights going with cars.
I believe it.
Wow. I didn't see anybody pulled over all the way back yesterday.
Wow. Hmm.
Oh.
It is World Introverts Day. Recharge through some alone time and self-care. Learn about the psychology of introversion or show appreciation for your inward-focused friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We all need some self-time now and then.
I think extrovert, introvert, after the gamut that was the last 2 weeks of holidays and friends and family and people and then blah, 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 and all that, everybody could use a little, downtime, a little me time, you know?
Yep.
I think everybody could use that.
And the biggest thing with introversion and extroversion is where you get your energy from. Introverts get it more from just a few people or having time by themselves. That's what recharges them. And extroverts, it's by being with people. So, you know, it's not that you can't be with people if you're an introvert or you can't be by yourself if you're an extrovert. It's where what feeds you, what gives you energy. Mm-hmm. So today, you know, let the introvert figure out or get some energy.
I think it's a misconception that most introverts or all introverts even don't like people. That's not that. I've never met an introvert that didn't like people. I just maybe groups of people, you know, just or certain people.
Limit.
Or yes, there's a limit.
How many in one sitting?
I think it's more about that. But you know, at the same time, I have no, I don't really blame either way. And I think they're both kind of. We all tend to be. Have different things in life that bring out our introvert or extrovert personalities.
Mm-hmm. But and then there's some of us who just like to read a lot and need that alone time, quiet time to read.
There you go.
That is a great, great reason to. National Personal Trainer Awareness Day. Day to appreciate all those personal trainers out there.
Yeah.
National Cream Puff Day.
Ooh,
nice.
Yummy.
Get your personal trainer a bunch of cream puffs. No,
I was just going to say how ironic that a day that we're saying, okay, I'm going to start my resolution. I'm going to get myself fit. Oh, let me have a cream puff.
And a cream puff.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. They are pretty good. They are pretty good.
It's all about balance.
Yeah.
They're very light.
They are.
There can't be that much fat in them. They don't weigh anything.
I'm not huge on the texture of them, but I don't mind one or two. I don't mind, you know. And especially if they're homemade, those are really good.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's all about finding, you know, moderation. It's okay to have one. It's not okay to have a dozen.
Yeah. National Science Fiction Day.
Yay.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
All sci-fi fans out there, arise.
Yes.
This is Excelsior. This is a great day for sci-fi, for everything sci-fi.
Yeah.
And it is also a great day to embrace the sci-fi in you, the inner, like, if there is a, everything from H.G. Wells, you know, the time machine to to any modern sci-fi. Sci-fi is one of those genres I didn't get into until later in life. Mm-hmm. And I find is a really like a, is a nice break from reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While, but it's the break that I kind of like, where I like to be, I like those stories that are evolved like almost like a parallel universe, or they're different but not completely different. Mm-hmm. And science fiction is a great field for that, where there's just tons and tons of stories that take place 20 years in the future or something like that, and, or you know, they in a faraway world and in a different part of the galaxy and all these things. Mm-hmm. It frees up the imagination and it lets you just have fun. While also having some facts, some science involved in it.
Absolutely.
So I kind of like that balance of it.
And I think it's ironic that a lot of the pictures that they have for that is from Star Wars, which is, yeah. You know, our generation. We grew up with that. And, you know, one of my favorite shows in the 80s was actually, and I think it was it 90s or 2000, Sliders? Mm. Do you remember that show with Jerry O'Connor?
Yeah, yeah. I want to say 90s.
Yeah, yeah. But I loved the concept that it's a time wormhole.
Yeah.
Going to all of these parallel universes, so.
That was a fun one. That was a fun one, yeah. It is National Pet Travel Safety Day.
Ooh.
If you are traveling with your pets, make sure that you have everything that they are to make sure that they are safe and mm-hmm. that they need. It's Run Up the Flagpole and See If Anyone Salutes Day. It's a great one.
Like, literally run up the flag? No.
No.
I know they mean it for flag, but...
I do like that, though. But the history of this day starts with the phrase, run up the flagpole and see if anyone salutes.
If you make it to the top, Melissa, I will salute you.
yes, absolutely.
I would, too.
The meaning behind the phrase is all about coming up with new ideas and then testing them out on others to see what happens. It's similar to the notion of throw it against the wall and see if what sticks.
So it's National Guinea Pig Day.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
The catchphrase got its start in the United States in the 50s and 60s when men in gray flannel suits worked as advertising executives at ad agencies on Madison Avenue in New York. Think about the inspiration for the show Mad Men, and that will hit the target fairly closely.
Okay.
Although it is sometimes still used in a serious manner, the phrase is often considered cliche in modern times. The phrase, run up the flagpole and see if anyone salutes, has been used in pop culture by comedians who are mocking the advertising culture, as well as in films, such as 12 Angry Men.
Okay.
Interesting. I just like saying that.
Yeah.
Run up the flagpole, see if anyone salutes it. That's just a fun mm-hmm. phrase.
That's a good time to try out some new ideas. Yep. Or, you know, yeah.
Well, so much of the you know, we were talking about, you know, resolutions, starting something new, all those things. You know, it's a fresh time of year. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it seems like a good time to try out those things. And it's always nice to have a test market to test things out with people before, you know, kind of going live, if you will.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I test out every segment we've ever done on my fur brother, Sam.
Oh, there you go.
I test them out on him, how he reacts to them, if they go or we don't do them or not.
Okay.
So it's a wag of the tail one mm-hmm. way or the other?
Yeah.
There you go.
Or if he just walks away. You know, sometimes he shakes his head at me, you know, that kind of thing. But that you wonder why so many of our stories have to do with dogs.
Oh, there you go.
That's actually why. That's
okay, well, let's move now.
Dogs and food.
So we need to start talking to Sammy. Gotcha.
Why, every time we go to commercial breaks, that's a good boy. It's a good boy. You're a good boy. It is also Swiss Cheese Day. Swiss Cheese Day, everybody.
Yeah.
Swiss cheese is great.
I've never really been a fan. Because I know you all, well, most of you should know by now, I don't eat dairy very often.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, like, aged white cheeses that I really, really like. Swiss cheese has never been one of them.
Mm. I don't like raw Swiss cheese, but if it's melted, like on a Swiss and mushroom burger... Then it's okay. So it's weird because I think there is a difference in the way it tastes when it's melted.
Really?
And when
I was going to say, does it change the flavor profile?
It does a little bit, and I'm not sure why.
Swiss cheese has a history that dates back several hundred years to the 1300s when the people of Switzerland began making their own cheeses. Starting out as more of a soft cottage-style cheese, they eventually were able to master the harder cheeses that they are famous for today. When the first industrial cheese factory was established in 1815, it increased the ability for cheese production and marketing. As the process was standardized and then incorporated on a global scale, Swiss cheese grew in popularity and availability. Interesting.
I like this fact from the 1800s that as Napoleon was leading his troops through the Swiss Alps, they stopped at a hostel where monks fed them 1.5 tons of cheese.
Whoa.
And it took them 50 years to get paid for it.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That is rough. That is a rough. The check is in the mail.
It might have took them that long to get the equipment going again.
Yeah,
digest 1.5 tons of cheese.
Yeah, digest through all that cheese. Yeah. We will take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. She's got some more facts for us. She's got some more. That was a good one.
Yeah.
We'll come back and we're going to get into possibly a new job for people out there, a new way to hustle, a new way to make some money. We'll find out what people think of this one. We'll come back with that and plenty more. It is Beth, Melissa, and James taking through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
The morning show back on your radio dial. Melissa, Beth, and James, and Dolly here. We say a good morning to our head of production, Seth Habhacker, who even not here makes his presence known.
But it's the wrong hour.
It's in 80s bumpers, though. I'm going to use this all the time. It doesn't matter what hour
it's
it is.
It's 9 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, it is 9 o'clock somewhere.
Right on. That is hilarious how that popped up right there. That was the first one to pop up. That was so good. Way to be, Seth. Nicely done. We got some fun stuff to get into this hour. As I said, there was a new bill a Wisconsin judge passed that I want to touch on. But there was another one, actually, that has been coming about that actually I found really interesting. And I saw a couple of articles about this, but one in particular that came out over at Wisconsin Public Radio on December 30th. And it's how dual language highway signs will revive native languages in crisis mode.
Okay.
The State Department of Transportation introduced dual language highway signs, which is something that they're doing, obviously, to try to bring the native languages, not only keep them alive mm-hmm. and keep them used, but for others outside of native cultures to learn them.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Dual language highway signs are being installed in some Wisconsin's tribal communities. Tribal leaders say that these signs are another step in a continuing effort to preserve their history and culture. In a partnership with 11 federally recognized tribes, the Federal Highway Administration and the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the State Department of Transportation is installing highway signs in English and native languages.
I love it.
The first was installed in November last year with the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Since then, signs have been put up in places like in an Oneida Nation, in the Menominee community, and in near Chippewa as well. The state's Tribal Historical Preservation Fund is financing the project through federal dollars, with $10,000 for each tribe to put up signs in their communities. The news stirred a mix of emotions among many, including many who teach or who are trying to keep the language alive.
Mm-hmm.
It is a constant discussion of educating the outside world of what a sovereign nation is as well at the same time. I think that we just assume way too much in life, and I think this is one of those where we don't really, I don't know how common knowledge it is, even in states like ours in Wisconsin, where you would think it would be pretty common knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the actual like way to say words or like this is the name for this or what have you. Does that make everything all better? It's a step towards it. It's a step towards making it a little more knowledgeable. not only is language fascinating and interesting, though, too, but it's also one of the quickest ways to kill hate.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much harder to hate somebody when you understand more and more and more of their culture. Why do we hate? Because we don't understand. If you understand, it's that much harder to. Then you just end up hating me because I'm a jerk, which is perfectly fine. But disliking somebody over other reasons, obviously, we don't like that as much. So this all not only is cool and I think can be really educational for all of us, but it also has that added layer to it.
And I think it's a great first step. I wish they would have a website someplace where when you see these, you could hear how it's pronounced.
Mm. There is.
There is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was wondering which one of us would say it first, Mel.
Yay, thank you.
I'm trying to find it exactly because there was a link that I found, and I thought I had saved it on my computer here, but I'm not finding it. But there's different websites. You can actually just go straight into Google and type in those the Indian words and that will give the how it sounds in their language.
Excellent. I mean, it's hard enough to say Oconomowoc. So that's more of a respect thing, not to assume I know how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's grossly underfunded that they're only getting $10,000 for science, because science can be pretty expensive.
Mm.
It's a step in the right direction. I think they can be doing a little bit more.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation, the state's 11 federally recognized tribes, the Federal Highway Administration, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs all joined in an agreement in 2007 to start doing this. Not with the signs necessarily, but trying to keep the languages mm-hmm. alive. And I thought that was pretty interesting too. That it's been around that long that they've been doing this. It didn't just happen. Laura is going to school for and studying a lot of this. And I've heard a lot more than I think have in years of the tongue, of the tone and the dialect of weighing of saying and everything. It's the most earthly dialect, the most earthly words I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like the language. And I've heard more and more of it in the last couple of months than I think I have since I was a kid. And there's something also like poetic. Like there's a poetry to it as well. It's a beautiful languages and very encouraging. Not only learning and understanding it a little bit more, but again, there's a fun part of language too.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be all seriousness and everything. There's that element of it certainly that needs to be taken, but it's just fun to learn new languages too and learn new words.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Language is fascinating.
Yes.
And I was able, I know that Laura's is studying Ashwaubenon.
Yes.
But the Menominee language, which we have Menominee tribes here in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. that the website for that is menominee-nsn.gov, and they have language classes right there. You can learn greetings and leave takings, greetings, expressions, and commands. They have a description of the vowels and how they work, because a lot of times with the native languages, their words are so long.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at them, once you learn how the vowels are pronounced, that helps you understand.
You have a group of people in Midwesterners, and by state, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, we take that much pride in where we're from, more than maybe anybody else in this country. This is something you could take pride in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
This is something you take pride in Illinois. This is something you take pride in Minnesota. I mean, this is a part of your land. This is a part of your culture. This is a part of who you are. So many of the city's names in Wisconsin derive from Native American languages, it mm-hmm. seems to make sense to understand some of them. The other part of this that I find very interesting, and I don't know if anybody else does, if you have ever just take a step back and look at this, how dominant Native American and Polish names and words are in this state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Wisconsin, did they just set out basically to give everybody tongue twisters, like everybody a hard time spelling? That if you can spell in Wisconsin, you are a master speller. You have learned, you have mastered the art of spelling if you are good at spelling in this state.
Mm-hmm.
It should probably be like the test that all politicians have to take before they can take office here in Wisconsin to be able to say a lot of these names of towns and words, because if they can, they obviously don't have deep roots here.
Exactly.
Oh my God, is that a great idea? My goodness, is that a great idea? Oh, that just made me so happy. I can't stand the politician that comes to town and 2 months later is running for office for that state or that city or what county or whatever. I love that idea. I know you're kind of kidding, but I hear it in your voice. You're only like this little 50-50
there. I'm not kidding.
Ooh, I like that.
All of us mispronounce things, to be fair. Right. It's easy enough to do. And, you know, for a lot of these, like Sheboygan, that are fun to say, there are ones that are a little bit harder, and I stumble over them too. There are towns in Wisconsin that I don't know how to pronounce the name, but I try to make an effort to learn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well said. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 7:54 on the clock. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. And going to it's a quick segment here. Just wanted to kind of give some appreciation to a couple of characters here, two very different worlds and two very different things. First up, of course, during our time away from the doing live content and everything, we've lost some people, and we can't be doing a job like this without giving respect to Barbara Walters. Barbara Walters, like every single other human being that has existed in all of time, had good, had bad, had things people agreed with, things people didn't agree with. Her later years in her life, maybe not as looked at as fondly as her earlier years, et cetera, et cetera. All that stuff is by case. Each of you out there have your own opinions and decisions about her. Mm-hmm. What you can't take away from Barbara Walters is the pioneer that she was and the skill level that she had. It's so weird. I've been spending the last year going back and watching a lot of my favorite interviewers and interviews over my lifetime. And I did not do it intentionally, but I started coming across old Barbara Walters interviews. And I'm like, oh, well, I know she's really good. I'll go ahead and check this out and everything. And I went down a rabbit hole of Barbara Walters interviews because I don't know if I know anybody off the top of my head that was so good at the follow-up question. Most interviewers go in, I got these 5-10 questions, and this is what we're going to do. And that can make a great interview. But the greatest interviewers, the Carsons, the John Stewarts, the Steve Allens, they come in with those 10 questions, and maybe they get to like 3 or 4 of them because they get into the conversation and, oh, well, what about this? Oh, let me ask you about that. What about that? Let me follow up on this. It's such a little talent and it's such a little thing to an interview. It doesn't seem like a big deal. Almost the best questions happen in those follow-up questions. In those, in my head, a rebound question. You get the rebound and you come back.
Right.
Barbara Walters was a master at it. She was also the first female anchor on an evening news program that literally changed everything after that.
Yeah.
Everybody had to recognize all of a sudden, whether you liked it or not, you had to respect her work. She was good at what she did. She was a professional. She came in and did her job and treated people fairly. I'm talking about those early days. Later, Barbara, you can take whatever you want with that, with The View and all those things. I'm looking at her as the reporter, the journalist.
Right. Mm-hmm. And somebody had to, and my recollection of her is she was so humble about it. She didn't, try to say, hey, look, I'm the first. She just said, I'm a journalist, and this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do the best that I can at it.
Quite a presence. I remember the Barbara Walters specials, of course. Those were really big, especially before the Oscars and everything. And her 2020 work.
Yes.
That show was so darn good.
She had the art of listening down.
Yeah.
Didn't just come in to say, okay, here's what we're going to go with it. She actually listened to what the person was saying, and that's why she was able to ask those in-depth questions to follow up.
Because that's a difficult thing to do in the moment, James, as you know very well. When you're in the process of interviewing, you sometimes can get lost thinking, trying to remember what your next question is, as opposed to listening to what the person is actually saying.
Right.
Answering your first question.
I have always been told I'm a good listener. At least that's what I hear. It's just an old joke. I've never had to work at listening.
Right.
It just comes naturally, I feel like. In school, sure, a little bit and everything, but it's always felt more natural to me. And that hour of Morning Magazine, don't bug me. Don't bother me. I am locked in. And whoever is in this office or in this studio mm-hmm. is the number one person in the world to me. Like, I am putting all my focus, attention, time into them and listening to them and giving them everything I have.
Right.
This job is a spinning plates job. You're mm-hmm. usually all those things. But Morning Magazine, nope, right there, focused in. When we have a guest in the 9 o'clock hour, focused in. Because I didn't know any other way to do it.
Right.
Melissa said it so accurately. You've got to be a good listener to be able to be a good interviewer, to be a good questioner.
Well, and it's respectful because you know that they're giving up their time to be here. So the least you can do is actually listen to what they have to say while they're here.
Yeah. And real quickly, as we get into our last minute here, we also lost one of the greatest athletes of all time, Pele, over the weekend, over the past week and stuff. Pele is world famous, and that's not a big deal nowadays. But he was world famous in the 60s, in the 50s.
Yeah.
Pele was the only other comp to Pele is Muhammad Ali. Pele was famous at a time when there was like four newspapers and two radio stations, and that was about it. A bunch of radio stations. He played the game, the beautiful game he played with a ball that was usually banged up, rules that were completely different in today's day and age. Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows anything would tell you that if you put Pele in today's game, he would be Pele. He would, no matter what era you put him in. And I think that's one of the greatest signs of greatness is mm-hmm. no matter what era you... I was like, I always loved the term classic beauty. To me, that means I can put you in any era and you're a 10. You're going to knock it out. You are amazing. Like, I think of Pele, I think of athletes like this that way. You can put him in any era and he would be the greatest. But what he did for soccer throughout the world, especially here in America, could never be a miss, you know, held
understated.
Up. Yeah, thank you, Melissa. Yes, understated. Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. Also, the joint top scorer in Brazil in history with 77 goals in 92 games. Nobody's ever done that.
Wow.
Nobody's done it since. just one of the greats and one of the greatest smiles in sports entertainment ever. We will take a break right here. I'm sorry, Melissa, were you going to say something?
Nope.
Okay. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. We're going to be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center in just a few minutes, too, right here on Morning Show at WFHR.